People Leading People is a podcast about the stuff that pops up when you lead people at work. Join Brennan McEachran, CEO of Soapbox, and me, Jillian Gora, customer experience at Soapbox, as we interview the people leaders that inspire us most.
Being a manager is hard enough when you're all sitting around the same table. So many things are misunderstood and held back in face-to-face meetings that it's hard to imagine these pains don't just get amplified when your team is remote. Katie Walmersley, VP of a completely remote engineering team at Buffer, shares her tips for building a productive and motivated team from afar. Okay, so hi, welcome, Katie.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
We're super excited to pick your brain today. I was just sharing with Jill, we think management's hard. Obviously, that's why we put the podcast together to get some insights out of everyone. And what has been, circling through my head over and over is, how does Buffer do it? Because they don't even get to, poke their neighbors or ask people, how's it going? Off the cuff.
Because they're all remote, right?
Fully
Everyone
remote.
At Buffer is fully remote.
Fully remote. So super excited to have you here today. We're going to pick your brain and go all over the place. But maybe before we do that, could you fill in the listeners on who you are, how you got here, your background?
Absolutely. And I think management is hard too, but I like a challenge. That's why I'm here. Yeah, so I'm VP Engineering at Buffer. And as you know, we're a globally distributed team. We have no offices at all. Everyone's remote. Mm-hmm. I joined Buffer as a software engineer and worked my way up doing what later transpired to be engineering management. I remember kind of not coding as much, just solving problems, trying to help people feel motivated, get things organized. I eventually went to our CTO and I thought I should tell him that I'm not writing that much code, but it was really helping a lot.
And we were like, very productive.
Oh, yeah. I think this is a thing, this might actually be.
And you did that as well at Buffer for a while. You had no managers, is that right?
Yes, we absolutely did. We didn't have any managers at all for a period. So we experimented with the entire holacracy self-management thing, which it didn't work for us. I'm probably couldn't say it can't work, but for us it didn't. And yeah, fun fact about me is I have never not worked remotely. So I've worked with a lot of people who are new to remote work and managers who are new to remote managing. Mm-hmm. But my entire career has been remote. I never understood going to a location in order to do my job. So I just never did.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's
so
like
awesome.
The perfect opposite viewpoint. Mm-hmm. So we always think how do we keep the podcast short so that people can listen to them on the commute to work?
Right, which is important.
Yeah. But maybe it's so that they can listen to it while they're making themselves breakfast in their own kitchen before they go and sit at their desk.
Well, it's a funny thing. People actually miss commutes when they go remote for the first time. A lot of people, they love not having a commute, but some people do have that thing of, well, I don't know when to fit in my podcasts. That was my time for me to just listen to
decompress.
Exactly.
And get ready
or read a book. Like I do all of my, well, not all of my reading, but a lot of my reading on the subway.
Yeah. Okay. So you've never experienced the other side of it, management. You've only experienced both being an employee with a remote manager and being a manager of remote employees. What do you think now that you're a manager or I guess VP of engineering, what do you think if you were to go back and give yourself one piece of advice to be a better remote employee, what would you tell yourself?
I think I would tell myself that the work I did to keep my team informed and to be very communicative was my job and was my work. That was something that would often stress me out a lot because I had this idea of, well, I need a code for 8 hours. Mm-hmm. And then all of the time that it takes to keep my team informed, to keep Jira tickets up to date, to send screenshots of my work, put things on dev service. I would then do that in after hours. I didn't realize that was sort of part of the job. So it was incredibly stressful. I didn't realize when were you supposed to do this communicating. So I think if I were to go back in time, I would say that is the job. If you're a remote employee, communicating really well with your team, they should never wonder what's going on with you. If they ever get that inkling, hey, I wonder what's up with Katie. What is she working on? What's happening? You've got a communication breakdown.
You've done something wrong.
So as a manager of a fully remote team, then what are the things that, it's the processes or whatever that you have in place with your team to make sure that communication is happening, but also to make them feel comfortable that part of their day is communicating and it's not all about coding all day?
Right. Well, the obvious thing is you talk about it. So just tell people, part of your job is communicating. That's okay. A lot of people don't say the obvious thing. Just say it.
Yeah.
And then of course it is the manager's job to set up processes that serve their team. So it would be different for every different team. And we change our processes over time. But especially with software teams, there's no reason to have to share status face-to-face talking. Like we have GitHub, we have Jira, there is email you can use, I done this, you can use Todoist. Like there's a plethora of apps and tools you can use. So there's no reason why it needs to be hard to know what your teammate is doing. Mm-hmm. Basecamp's another one we've tried and liked. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so that's always, it's funny when I think about that type of communication, I imagine it's always like such a well-oiled machine at a remote company because it kind of has to be. I think the part that makes me scared is how do you do like the soft skill stuff? Like how do you check in on, you know, how a member of a team feels about, you know, the other members of the team or you know, how they're, you know, doing when, you know, you're not around or you're not on the video call or something like that. Are there ways that you sneak that in or is it very formal?
So the soft skills thing takes time. So we don't sneak it in the sense that we do one-to-ones with each manager to teammate for one full hour every single week, which is, it's a fair amount of time. And I'll also do skip level one-to-ones. So engineers that report to managers who report to me, I'll speak to them every 6 weeks for about half an hour. And I'll ask them things like, right now, is there anything that I can do at Buffer to make working here more fun? Who on your team is doing really well? And then listen to who's doing really well, but also listen for the people that don't come up. And then you know, okay, maybe there's something there, maybe not. But like listening to the silences is a really helpful way to get a bit of a deeper sense of like, is there a slight problem here that's brewing?
Yeah.
And we put a lot of effort into our one-to-ones. We try to make them not about status, not about a project, about who are you as a person? What do you value right now? Why are you here at work? Like what is motivating you? What is challenging you?
Yeah.
So I tend to try have quite sort of deep one-to-ones. Like tell me about a really happy childhood memory. And they'll be like, oh, you were surrounded by all of your family. Does that mean you're really extroverted? Like, is it challenging that you're by yourself at work now, you know, so we'll do that kind of thing.
So you're doing an hour every week with all of your direct reports. How many direct reports do you have?
Well, I have managers reporting to me, right?
Okay.
So yeah. So a good number is around like 7 plus minus 3.
Okay.
A manager can sustain up to about 10. I certainly had more than 10 engineer direct reports before, like times when we were going quickly and you haven't sort of built
you don't
up
have time, yeah.
You don't have time. But yeah, you get more practice at it. I think up to about 10 is doable. 7 is probably like a healthier number because it does take a bunch of time.
But you're spending about like one full working day per week just in one-on-ones.
Oh yeah, easily. Yeah.
Easily.
Yeah.
And then what do you do? Like how much time do you think you spend? And again, I think this is like interesting. You were saying communication is part of the role. What do you, you know, if you're just spending that one full day communicating about the people things, how much time do you think of your work changes when you come out of those meetings? Do you try to cram them in all in one day? Do you go, you know, a couple a day? How much does your day get shifted based on those conversations? Or is it pretty stock and standard every week?
So they typically scheduled ahead of time. So I'll have, you know, a one-to-one with this person and it'll be on Tuesday at 2 p.m. all the time unless we need to move it. So that they're pretty scheduled. We put a really high priority on not moving around those meetings. Both parties really respect them. They think about them beforehand. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to how do you schedule your calendar, that varies a lot by person. Some managers like to have all their one-to-ones in one day because they get into a certain mind space and it works. Mm-hmm. Others find it really challenging, especially if you have a couple direct reports and they're going through a hard time. And then you have one one-to-one and there's somebody suffering and they're struggling and you're feeling drained. And then the next one-to-one and it happens again. And that can be tough. So my personal threshold on that is I can do 4 hours of back-to-back video calls fine. I cannot do 4.5 hours. I am done.
Right.
So, yeah. So you need to know your own limits and kind of learn those. So some people like to scatter it around and change things up, a one-to-one, then a team sync, then they'll have some heads down time. Other people like to keep their calendar very defragmented. And it's just about knowing what works for your type of energy. Like, does one-to-ones give you energy or lose you energy? Plan accordingly.
So in terms of, because I'm imagining you have been remote this whole time, so for your whole career, but have you, if you know of people kind of in your circle who've maybe made the transition to being a remote manager, what are the things that sort of they're anxious about, or what are the mistakes that you see them making or hear them talking about?
Right. So a big anxiety is overthinking all communication, because there's not a lot of natural just seeing a person's full body and all their body language. So new managers that have used to work non-remotely and are now working remotely, that's a big thing. It's like, do they like me? Is everything okay? Mm-hmm. Every single Slack message, it's like agonizing over that emoji choice. Like, that's really common, that kind of anxiety around, you know, wanting to be likable and professional and, you know, relatable, but it's suddenly remote for the first time. And that's completely normal. I always tell people that if you feel that way and you're overthinking your communication a lot, it doesn't mean that it's the wrong company or like remote is not going to be the right fit for you. It just means that you're learning a completely new way of communicating. You're in a different medium, and yeah, it's going to feel weird for a little bit.
Is the advice just to power through that until it's not awkward? Is there a right level of agony that you should just always have? What do you think is like the appropriate, like for me, I would go insane.
Yeah.
I know I would go insane.
Yeah.
Only because, I think maybe because like my background is just more in face-to-face human, you know, visual. And so I'd be on the hunt for those subtle body language mm-hmm. cues. And if I don't have them, I don't know what I would do. Is there an appropriate amount of, like, especially as you're new, getting up to speed, that is right, or too much, or not enough?
That's a good question. I'd say it depends a lot on your company culture. But what you will need to do as a remote manager is make the switch from relying on a person's full body language to being able to read somebody over a video call and interpret what their text-based communication means for them.
Okay.
So that's going to take a lot of focus up front. If after 90 days you're still feeling like you're in the terror zone, it's a great idea to seek help. Just ask other managers like that are working remotely. Like there's a lot of us. I mean, you can find me on Twitter. Bye.
We're tweeting about it.
So should it take focus? Yes, it will take focus. Should it be continuously terrifying past your first 90 days? That maybe you're under too much stress. Like, yeah, ask for help.
What's like subtle text-based body language clues that most people learn? What are like the common ones that if someone sends you a Slack message like this, it means they're happy or upset? Or are there any common ones, or is everyone unique?
Everyone's very different. So you kind of need to figure out how to learn your direct reports communication style fairly quickly. And that's why our one-to-ones have a lot of very specific questions, like what makes you grumpy? How will I know if you're feeling upset? What are your tells if you're starting to burn out? For example, really common engineer burnout tells: losing your sense of humor, any change in your dream state. If you don't usually dream and you're now dreaming a lot, that's like an early warning thing. Or if you used to dream a lot and you're just like blacking out each night, like no dreams, that can be a warning state as well. Yeah. So we talk about these things very explicitly because it does vary by person to person.
Mm-hmm. That's so interesting. I don't think I've ever heard a manager like say, in my one-on-ones, I ask my people about their dreams. What did you dream about last night? Did you dream last night? Are you good on dreams?
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't say, what did you dream about? I'd be like, oh, God.
Yeah, like, maybe that's too far.
Are your dreams changing a lot? Like, are you noticing any like dramatic changes in your sleep patterns or dream state? And if they're like, yeah, it's been really different, I'm like, oh, interesting.
Uh-oh. You're like, uh-oh, mental note.
Yeah. And then I'll like ask other questions. I'll be like, how about your sense of humor? Are you like attaching a huge amount of importance to lots of little things?
Yeah, how's your Giphy usage?
Like, yes as well, then I'm like, okay, like, are you battling?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you mentioned the questions you ask in one-on-one are really structured. Do you, you know, when you're managing your managers, kind of promote, hey, here's the template, here's the thing. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll share like these are helpful questions that I have found helpful, but I also encourage them to find their own voice, and maybe they want to ask different questions or add on the questions, and we all kind of share all of the questions around with each other. So a manager will read some blog article and say, oh, apparently it's really great to ask, you know, is there anything you're afraid of at work? And everyone's like, oh, gee, let's ask that next one-to-ones.
that's awesome.
Yeah.
And what about when you have to have a difficult conversation with someone that isn't necessarily going to be prompted by a question of, like, what do you find difficult at work? When you, Katie, as the manager, are like, okay, we need to really sit down and talk about something, how do you approach that?
So in the first one-to-one I do with people, I ask them, how do you like to get feedback? Do you like it to be routine, like in a weekly one-to-one? Do you like it to be as soon as possible as it happens? And do you like it to be over email, over Slack, or over a video call? And then I will try to follow the format that they find easiest. So if they like to get written communication first, I'll send them an email that will say, here is the difficult conversation kind of laid out. Let's talk about it in our next one-to-one. If somebody prefers it to be, it's difficult when people prefer it to be ad hoc and on video calls. It means you do need to do that thing of like, hey, can we talk?
Yeah, which is terrifying. That's what I'm always so worried about. Yeah.
Right. Most people that think they like that preference of feedback, like the first time they try it, I'll ask them like, how did that really feel for you doing that? So a lot of the time they'll walk it back like, no, let's do something different.
Like, next time,
anxiety of getting a message that says like, hey, we have to talk immediately right now. I have feedback to give you. It's like, whoa.
Yeah.
I mean, some people do legitimately prefer that, but yeah, it's a bit stressful. And with giving feedback, what's very helpful is the nonviolent communication approach, where you don't say, I'm disappointed in your selfish actions at, you know, working on a conference talk while the team was busy, you know, hitting a really aggressive deadline. Mm-hmm. I would say, I noticed that you were working on a conference talk, and also that the team was struggling to meet this aggressive deadline. Mm-hmm. And that made me feel concerned for your relationships with your teammates, and that you might be eroding trust there. Would you be willing to, and then like ask the specific request? So like I ask for the exact like behavior change that I need. So it's very much about, I noticed this behavior, this is the impact very specifically, and would you be willing to change it to this behavior? It's not about, it's not emotional. It's not about who they are as a person. It's not that I'm upset. I'm generally not upset. It's just like, I noticed this behavior, not effective for this reason. Would you be up for this behavior? If yes, I'm like, great, solved. Like, that's the behavior. If they don't understand the behavior, we'll work through like, okay, do you not understand why that would be helpful? Or is it that you understand why, but you're struggling to do it? And I'll be sure to ask, what can I do to support you in making this behavioral change? And often people will ask for like ongoing kind of, well, every time I do that, can you nudge me? Can you add a specific emoji reaction to any Slack message that you think is passive aggressive?
Yeah.
And just add a little emoji, and between you and me, like, we'll know. And it actually builds, it can build a really, really strong relationship going through that with somebody. I mean, it can also just not end well. You can keep trying and they're just not getting it, and you have to end up letting someone go. Like, it's
or
not,
like everybody not else worthy, also but clicks on the emoji reaction and you're like, oh God.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would be interesting.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Great. Very cool.
Great. Well, it's that time of our episode when we like to ask a secret question, put you on the spot. So if you could pick a number between 1 and 3.
Great. I pick 1.
Pick 1. All right. Doop, 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 doop. Okay. What's the one thing you've done as a leader that has made you 10 times more productive?
Batching my calendar and carving out time for specific things, especially big projects that need to be done. Mm-hmm. And I am highly organized about my time. If it's not on the calendar, it's not going to happen. I don't have like these long to-do lists with I'll do it at some point. Mm-hmm. And I color code my calendar into when I am operating like as an exec at the company level with other executives, when I'm operating as a line manager to my manager direct reports, and when I'm doing like other kinds of work that is sort of overall within engineering, but it's my own deep work. Mm-hmm. And I have like different needs for those sort of things. So the deep work, I need 3-4 hours blocked out in a coffee shop to create a new manager career framework. So I like block that out. It's happening on Friday. This is exactly what's happening. That has made me 10x more productive because it solves that problem of I'm spinning my wheels in the whirlwind trying to keep everything running smoothly. Mm-hmm. And I have super busy long days that are not productive. Mm-hmm. And just not believing in busy. If you're feeling super busy and there's a ton of things and you're running around, busy is an anti-pattern. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not a good thing.
And do you carve out time to carve out that time? Because I feel like that would also be an exercise in just mm-hmm. sitting back and saying, well, okay, how am I going to accomplish all these things? When's it going to get done?
I do, actually. I find scheduling things kind of intense and it takes a lot of concentration with all the time zones and I have to. So I have like mm-hmm. scheduling for the next week or month. And I like to schedule like an entire month in advance.
So, oh, wow.
Yeah.
So batching, color coding, based on, I was thinking as you were saying it, like what hat you're wearing and the particular, the different hats you're wearing.
Yeah.
Are those the batches? Is it really just like the headspace you want to get into? Or are you batching like task activities and?
Right. So I'm assigning the color of the calendar event is the headspace. And then you just group colors. So skip level 1-to-1s. I put them all next to each other because that works for me. And then I ask them all the same kind of things I need to go through. And then I can see the patterns. And then like I go into the next thing. Yeah.
Cool.
So you don't switch around. You don't do like, So you don't do like one skip level and then a leadership meeting and then work on a career framework and then another skip level because you're just all over the place. Well, I'm all over the place.
Yeah. No, I feel that too with the stuff I do. Sometimes it's just that you've got to put yourself in all these different brain spaces and it can be hard to jump from 1-to-1. So the notion of grouping sort of, okay, I'm putting this type of brain on or this type of hat on for this chunk of time makes a lot of sense.
Do that big time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you're just in that zone for the day and you just know next Tuesday I'm doing skip level 1-to-1s all day. Like I'll just talk to people all day. Mm-hmm. That's fine. That's my job.
That's
what
productive.
Next week, Tuesday, that's what productive looks like on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Make it through, feel accomplished.
Cause that's the other thing too. I mean, I'm just so curious about this. It's so interesting, but I know I have some friends who are freelancers and for them, the tough part is saying the day is done. My day is done. I have done enough work. I feel accomplished. And it's often because they're just sitting there alone. They have no feedback on that. They are the masters of their own work. And I can imagine that things like that where you can visually see, no, I added value today. Mm-hmm. I was productive mm-hmm. would be really helpful in those kinds of situations.
Super helpful. And that's a huge thing with remote work. There's a great New Yorker cartoon and it's got somebody in a home office and the caption is, I can't remember, do I work from home or do I live at work?
That's exactly it.
Yeah.
Oh gosh.
Yeah. Yeah. Boundaries.
Yeah.
Boundaries. Awesome.
Awesome. That was super insightful. Lots of stuff for me to take home and try. But
totally.
Mm-hmm. That's all I've got.
Yeah. Thanks so much. It was such a pleasure to chat with you and very enlightening, definitely.
Thank you so much. This was a lot of fun. And if anyone's listening to this podcast and wants to talk about being a remote manager, you can find me on Twitter. It's @KatieWammers. Also, I am hiring engineering managers if you'd like to come and work for me.
That is a good opportunity.
And try out some of these tactics.
Yes. Exactly. Cool. I mean, working for a manager as organized as you would be a delight, I'm sure. So you guys know where to find her, Twitter.
And someone who asked about your dreams.
Yeah.
That's what it's about.
I promise it's not creepy.
Yeah, but in a non-intrusive way.
Yeah.
Great. Okay, well, awesome. Thanks so much, Katie.
Thank you
so much.
People Leading People is produced by Soapbox, an app that helps managers and employees work better together by giving them a place to manage their one-on-ones, team meetings, and company-wide discussions. Download it for free at soapboxhq.com/free. Special thanks to our editor, Joel North. If you liked what you heard today, do us a favor and give us 5 stars in the reviews. And if you're really feeling the love, leave a comment with a secret question you'd like us to ask in an upcoming episode.